Yeah, we're on the radio. We're going to talk about radio, but not the radio that, well, I'm on right now. We're talking amateur radio, better known as ham radio. And joining us right now in the studio is John Barrett. John, you're vice president of the Woodmont Amateur Radio Association or Club, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Now, when people say they hear amateur radio, we're talking about hams, right?
Correct.
So define that for us.
Okay. Amateur radio. Doesn't mean you don't know what you're doing.
Well, in my case, people look in the window and go, he's still trying, isn't he? Yeah.
To be an amateur radio operator, you actually have to take a series of very serious tests. Mm-hmm. You used to have to know Morse code.
Yeah.
So you have to be familiar with the science of radio as well as all the rules, regulations, things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
And you get a call sign. Like mine is KC1ADT or Kilo Charlie 1 Alpha Delta Tango.
Always Alpha Bravo Charlie Delta Echo. So you guys, amateur and gals, guys and gals, ham radio operators, most people may say right now, oh yeah, those are the guys that broadcast and listen around the world, right? How does that work?
Well, the different frequencies behave differently in our atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And so we operate, amongst other things, in the high frequencies, and they go up and they bounce off the troposphere and come down back to Earth. And in some cases, they bounce along the troposphere
mm-hmm.
so that you can actually end up talking to yourself, but you're on a delay because your voice just traveled around the world and came back to you. We can also reflect our signals off the moon. We also have our own space satellites that we can use to do message forwarding
mm-hmm.
or to work as a repeater to send messages back down to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We even have methods that we could bounce a message off of a meteor. Our meteor's tail.
Come
afterwards.
On, this is sounding a little weird to me.
It's
amazing.
Is.
Yeah,
it is.
Wow.
So we go from having classic voice like we're talking right now, to using very high end digital systems.
Mm-hmm.
That's what allows us to do those really wild methods where our voices are broken down into digital code repeated several times over a very detailed algorithm. And on the opposite side is a computer to decode all that and bring it right back.
You and I were talking before we did the segment here on WICC about, what got us into this. And I was fascinated. I tell my folks that ask me now that I'm at like 41 years doing this, I would stare, dummy me, I would look at and watch a radio mom had in the kitchen, hoping that I could see some of the little guys inside. No, honey, it doesn't work that way. But that got me hooked on what I'm doing now. What got you into what you're doing right now?
Well, we were talking before, there was another guy on AM radio by the name of Gene Shepherd.
Great Gene Shepherd,
Wrote many books and movies, and he was a ham radio operator.
Okay.
And so he would talk all about his adventures in ham radio. And that got my interest going. And I was in, the fifth grade?
Okay.
When a club was starting in Bridgeport.
Yeah.
And
where was this now?
Where
was it?
That was at what's now the Adventure Museum.
Okay.
Back then it was the Bridgeport Museum of Science, Art, and Industry.
Yeah.
So that was the first time there was a station there. The club didn't last very long, but I learned all my basic electronics all the way back then. I just couldn't learn the Morse code. It was terrible.
Well, all I know is SOS. But
right.
That's it. So do you remember, as a young guy back then learning this, do you remember the first time you keyed a mic or maybe got a response on something you said? Any of that burned into your memory?
That didn't happen till many years later.
Okay.
When my son was then at that age.
Okay.
And you didn't need to learn Morse code anymore.
Right.
And the two of us got our licenses together.
Oh, so you weren't allowed to crack a mic unless you could show proficiency in Morse code.
Right.
Wow. Well, it's like you need a driver's license. So was that part of the licensure of doing that?
Yes. It used to be that the higher the license was, the faster you had to be able to operate.
Wow. Now, that goes back to the core, right? And John Barrett is the guest vice president of the Woodmont Amateur Radio Association. So this goes back to the one of, besides being fun to be able to talk about, talk to people all around the world, we often hear, John, about disasters, volcanoes, flooding, fire, governmental unrest, where maybe people's cell phones don't work and their computers don't work. So this is where the ham radio operators, really, in this uber high-tech era of having everything in your hand, you guys and gals really perform an amazing service here.
Yes. That's really based on the point that we don't rely on outside infrastructure, right? Mm-hmm. We don't rely on the internet. We don't rely on other transmitters that are out there.
Sure.
Our radios function independently. So when the power is down, as long as we've got our generators or batteries or whatever, we can still function at 100%. So that frees us from all those other restrictions mm-hmm. going on. So if you've heard of any major disaster, there's been ham radio involved, whether you want to go back to Puerto Rico when it was completely wiped out by hurricanes.
Yeah, that's the one that comes to mind, you know. Yeah.
Right. There was a plane load of amateur operators sent by the American Radio Relay League, headquartered right
Newington,
here in Newington.
Yep, up the road. Yeah. Yep.
And they did everything from going up into the mountains where people couldn't reach anyone to working with the police departments and fire department that had all their systems knocked out.
In other words, who do you want us to get a message to, or there's a message for you from somebody?
Well, there are a couple of different kinds of messages. Yeah. One would be operational.
Okay. You know,
and usually we don't get involved in dispatching police
or anything like that.
Yeah. We're the back channel stuff mm-hmm. going through. Now, the classic thing, though, is, you know, Aunt Ruthie is in the disaster zone.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
And how do we know if Aunt Ruthie is safe? Well, Aunt Ruthie can get in touch with an amateur operator.
Yep.
They're located at all the shelters, mm-hmm. usually. And the Red Cross works with us as well.
Nice.
And so you're able to write a message out
yep.
to your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then by relaying it,
yeah.
so
you know which station is near the family, right?
Well, there is a whole network of relays that go
yeah.
across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know you're going towards Indiana, it's going to go up into the main flow going across the country. Then
yeah.
it splits off into the Indiana
wow.
group
yeah.
and goes down to the lowest level possible.
So there's some serious organization here.
Serious organization.
Yeah. yeah. And it's Paul in for Melissa in the morning. Hey, how are you? 8:53, almost 8:54. News coming up top of the hour. Traffic and weather together. A couple more minutes here with our buddy John Barrett. John, we should tell you, is vice president of the Woodmont Amateur Radio Association. So go online. Here's the website. Check it out. If you are a ham operator and don't know about the Woodmont Association, or you may want to be more involved with them, WARA.club, not .com, not .org, WARA.club, the Woodmont, as in Milford, Woodmont Amateur Radio Association. And first of all, John, before we finish up on hams as it is, what's coming up today and tomorrow? What do you have that's going on that people should know about?
Well, starting tomorrow is an event called Field Day. It is a event that takes place over all of the U.S. and Canada, where all amateur radio operators are urged to get out in the field, that is, away from their home stations.
Mm-hmm.
This is as if it was a disaster. It's a combination fun contest, disaster drill, and a way to show off to the public what we are and what we do. And so in this case, we will be at Truby Doolittle Park in Milford, and starting at 2 o'clock with the event, we will be trying to contact as many sections in the U.S. and Canada.
Nice.
And there are almost 200 of them.
Wow.
Some states, like Connecticut, have only one section. Some, like California, have, you know, a dozen. So it's a very interesting thing. You'll see we have maps on display tied into a computer to show what sections we've lit up and
wow.
connected to.
And you were telling me, in the interest of time, I want to make sure I get to this. You were telling me that in times of natural disaster or, God forbid, wartime, even if a president or any chief executive shuts down commercial television and radio, you guys and gals, the ham operators, you're kind of a backup for this whole country.
Certain stations are designated as part of RACES, the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, and they are all connected with some form of civil defense, whether they're tied with the Red Cross or your local emergency services. But you've got to be official. You can't just say, hey, I'm out here and I'm looking to help. And
yeah, no, it's some organization.
Yeah. And yes, that's all part of the system, that regardless of what infrastructure goes down, there is something up and running.
All right. The association is going to be having their field day. It is coming up, you said, this weekend, today, tomorrow, right?
We're setting up today.
Okay.
It's Saturday through Sunday. It's a 24-hour event starting at 2 p.m. on Saturday.
All right. And where again, the location?
Trubee. That's T-R-U-B-E-E, Doolittle Park. And that's in the borough of Woodmont, inside of Milford.
All right, check it out, and they can answer your questions about, hey, maybe you want to get involved with this, and John and his staff can be there from the Woodmont, as in Milford, Woodmont Amateur Radio Association, John Barrett. John, thank you. It's been educational. We could go on for hours here, but I'm a real nerd, so we'll let people come up to you on the weekend and answer the tough questions.
Great. Thank you. Look forward to seeing all of you show up.
Appreciate it.